Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis. And today we continue on our study of the book of Titus. We'll be in Lesson 5. And I want to remind you as we get the program underway that this is a study edition. We'll not be taking live phone calls, as always, on Fridays. Not always, but usually on Fridays. However, the listener line is always open, so you can get your questions to us by voicemail at 844-322-2742. So if you have questions or issues over the weekend that you'd like us to discuss, or if you hear something during the broadcast that you don't quite understand, well, we cordially invite you to call and record your question or your issue. In the U.S. and Canada, that number is 844-322-2742. Well, Bob, it's a special day across the country as we pause to observe Juneteenth, Emancipation Day across America. And here at Basic Gospel, we join with all Americans on this very, very important day of celebration.
Yes, indeed. You know, our Declaration of Independence talks about human equality, and this is a day when that was really made real for all Americans, mm-hmm. all people that lived in this land. And so we celebrate that. And I think as far as believers are concerned, we always need to rejoice whenever freedom is mentioned. Why? Yeah. Because that's what we experience in Christ Jesus. You know, we're all looking for different types of freedom out there in the world, political freedom, economic freedom, social freedom, all of those sort of things. But all of that is really a derivative of the real freedom that we can experience in Christ. Yes. Those are all just shadows mm-hmm. of a greater reality that Jesus Christ brought about for each and every one of us. So Christ came to set us free. If you know the truth will set you free. When the Son has set you free, you are free indeed. It is for freedom that we have been set free. Don't let anyone put a yoke of slavery on you ever again. So we see passage after passage after passage. I posted one on my Facebook page and Twitter feed today, Romans 8:1-2. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Why? Because the law of the Spirit of life has set us free from the law of sin and death. And that's a freedom that no one can take away from us. And certainly, as far as you and I, Bob, and the entire Basic Gospel team and Basic Gospel Nation, that's our desire for every single person Indeed. Is to experience their freedom in Christ Jesus. And that's why we talk about this gospel message so much, and why it's so important for people to understand the good news of Jesus Christ, because in him there is freedom, yes, eternal indeed. Freedom. Mm-hmm. So we celebrate today this historical day back in 1865,
right?
And it was 2 years after the Emancipation Proclamation that Abraham Lincoln gave out. But 2 years later is when I think some folks here in Texas realized that the Civil War was over and said, "Hey, we're free." And yeah. boy, that just spread across the land. So it's been something that's been celebrated here in Texas for many years. Yeah. And I'm glad that it's getting the national recognition and that we can kind of understand our story, our American story, a little bit better and realize that freedom is something that everybody longs for. And thank God our government had recognized that back then. And so freedom is now available for all.
Yes, indeed. Well, friends, we're glad you're with us as we continue in our study of the book of Titus. And Bob, I guess let's keep going right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, let's dive in. So we're in chapter 3 today, and we're going to get through verses 1 through 11. Last week, we ended on a high note as far as the book of Titus is concerned. It talks about the grace of God appearing, bringing salvation to all. And in this grace of God, we have a teacher. And this grace of God teaches us or trains us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and trains us and equips us to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age as we wait for the blessed appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's the high note. That is what this book is all about. The grace of God that saved us is the same grace of God that empowers us to live as children of light in this world of darkness. Now, that kind of leads us into chapter 3, And Paul starts this section of the letter with seven reminders. So he says this: remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy toward all people. We talked about this yesterday on the broadcast, but boy, it's a reminder for all believers, certainly in this day and age with all that's going on out there in the world. So he reminds us to be submissive to rulers and authorities. Rulers and authorities are sanctioned by God to keep kind of law and order in a land.
Sure.
And it also, you know, somebody does you wrong, and your flesh wants to get revenge. And we don't have to seek that. God has a governing authorities that will take care of those sort of things, that will do justice in the land, so to speak. So he's saying for us to be submissive to those rulers and authorities, to be obedient. That is kind of a hand in glove word with the word faith.
Yeah.
So faith leads to obedience. I love how Major Ian Thomas put it. It starts with the love of God that produces love for God in our hearts, that produces dependence upon God, mm-hmm. that then leads to obedience to God.
Yeah.
So we have faith in Jesus Christ. We've trusted in the goodness of God. We've received him. And as we walk in dependence upon the Lord Jesus Christ, then this obedience is going to flow from there.
Mm-hmm.
So he's saying, be obedient. He's saying that we should be ready for every good work. And that's part of what he said, that in verse 14 of chapter 2, that God, through Christ Jesus, has called out a people for himself, one that is his own possession, people who are eager for good works or zealous for good works. So he's saying, since that's the case, be ready for every good work. When there's an opportunity to extend the goodness and kindness of the Lord, do so.
Mm-hmm.
Be ready for that. Why? Because that's part of the salvation that you have. That's part of who you are now as a believer in Christ Jesus. Speak evil of no one. Boy, that is a hard thing for people to do.
Yeah.
We want to gossip. We want to spread all kinds of rumors. We want to tell stories on folks. We always want to put people in a bad light.
Mm-hmm.
That's just part of that old human nature. But now that we're in Christ, we can speak good things about people.
Yeah.
So he's saying, speak evil of no one. Avoid quarreling. Boy, we like to fight. We are argumentative to the core. Now, you're supposed to say, no, we're not.
No, we're not.
Yes, we are. No, we're not. Yes, we. But avoid quarreling. It doesn't do any good.
No.
Be gentle and show perfect courtesy toward all people. Oh, my gosh, if we could just overlay that over the whole country, over the whole world, what a blessing that would be if people would learn to be courteous one to another. So these are seven reminders, and he's going to give us kind of the underpinning for why these reminders are appropriate and why these reminders can actually be carried out by you and me as believers in Christ. And we'll get to that in just a minute.
It is Basic Gospel, everybody. Our study through Titus with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis. We're glad you're here. And it's an encouraging thing. Friends, I speak of the good news of a $45,000 matching gift challenge to double every dollar you give to help Basic Gospel reach our $180,000 need as we conclude this fiscal year. And I'm just 11 days away from right now. So we ask everyone to make the most generous possible gift to help Basic Gospel stay on the air and online, bringing this good news of the love of Jesus Christ. Please click donate at basicgospel.net to double the impact of your gift. Again, that's basicgospel.net. And as you make your gift, we'll say thanks for your support by sending you a copy of our new 30-day devotional called Forgiveness, a study that can open the door for you to experience the joy of a deep personal connection with the Lord Jesus Christ. So once again, please join us in our $45,000 Good News Matching Gift Challenge that will double every dollar you give. You can make your matching gift donation online at basicgospel.net or by mail to Basic Gospel at 751 Hebron Parkway, Suite 310, Louisville, Texas, 75057. We would love for you to join us this weekend.
Yes, indeed. Well, thank you, Bob. Well, back to our study. So we're gonna pick up in verse 3. And so he has seven reminders in verses 1 and 2 for believers in Christ, some attitudes, some actions, as far as things that we can do in the world just in our day-to-day lives. And now he's going to give us the reason for those reminders. What makes it possible for us to carry this out? Why? Because we've been given a new source of life, Jesus Christ himself. So he begins with kind of the picture of what we once were, and then he's going to end that picture or give us another picture of what we now are in Jesus Christ. And so this is all the result of God's loving kindness. And that's what I've entitled this message today, the kindness of God. So in verse 3, we see this, for we ourselves were once. Now, I think that is a key word. Yeah. So underline or circle that word once. That's what we once were, but not anymore. Something has happened to us. So here's what we were once. We were foolish. We were disobedient. We were led astray, easily deceived. We were slaves to various passions and pleasures. We were passing our days in malice and envy. We were hated by others, and we were hating one another. That's what we were. That's what we once were. We look out in the world, and we see most every one of these things. So we were not people of virtue. We were far from that. I love this malice. It's wickedness as an evil habit of the mind. Now, I don't love it, but this definition is really, really good. So
glad you clarified that.
Yes, malice of the heart. We are envious. We look at what people have and we want it. We get mad at them. We get angered that we don't currently possess it. That's what envy is all about. This hated by others and hating one another. We see that in the world today. We see that hatred that is going back and forth between people, between individuals, between different people groups. That's what we once were. So I think that's important, again, for us to understand. We were once that, but now. And that's the next word, but. But now, the kindness, when the goodness and the loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. So we were once all of these things, but now, because of the goodness and the kindness and the love of God our Savior. Now he says that goodness, that loving kindness appeared. How did it appear? It appeared in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Yeah. The grace of God appeared. We saw that in Titus 2:11. Who's the grace of God? The Lord Jesus Christ. So the goodness and the kindness of God appeared in the form of a person. And in this person, through this person, Jesus Christ, God saved us. Not because of anything that we've done, not because of our righteousness, but because of his own mercy. So Jesus Christ, in his death on the cross, he absorbed sin, and he died in our place. So God was just in his dealing with sin. And then from that act of justice, Jesus Christ became a fountain of mercy that flows out to you and me.
Love that.
So by his mercy, he saves us, not because of anything that we've done, but because God is a loving, merciful God. And this is how he saved us. So he gives us a little insight into the mechanics of this salvation, exactly what he accomplished for us. So he did it by the washing of regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit. So this is what has happened. So we were once foolish in all of these various things. We were unclean, defiled in the sight of God. But through the washing of regeneration, he cleanses us, he forgives us, he bestows righteousness upon us, and he makes us alive together with Christ. That is the washing of regeneration. And then there's the renewal of the Holy Spirit. So we experience a new birth, a rebirth, and that's what that word regeneration means. It is a new beginning. In that word, in the Greek word, is the word Genesis. So it is a new beginning. It is the beginning of our new life in Christ. We were once all of these things, but now we have new life in Jesus Christ. And then this renewal of the Holy Spirit, it's the renewing that makes a person qualitatively different. Mm-hmm. Okay? We were once, but now we're different. And because we're different, because we have the Holy Spirit, he's the one that makes us different. Then, in depending upon the Holy Spirit, these seven reminders can be a part of our day-to-day experience.
Sure, yeah.
We don't have to muster that up. We don't have to try to create those things. It's just a natural outflow of our new life in Christ Jesus. We've been made qualitatively different through the washing of regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit. So yeah. Oftentimes we just talk about being saved and we don't really understand what that word means. For so many, it simply means that I'm going to be granted entry into heaven when I die. I've done something. I've said a sinner's prayer. I've walked an aisle. I've committed myself. I've surrendered myself. I've done something, and now I'm saved. Well, that's a poor understanding, a really shallow understanding of the work of God in Christ on your behalf. He did something to you. He made you qualitatively different. And he did so through the work of the Holy Spirit, the washing of regeneration, and the renewal of the Holy Spirit. And now we are one with the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. His Spirit is connected with our human spirit. We're one at the very core of who we are as human beings. Yeah. So we're different. And how did that happen? By the kindness of God and by the love of God. Now, this word kindness, it's a great word as well.
Yeah.
We see it as a fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, kindness. And here's what it means. It's a usefulness. It conveys the idea of furnishing what is needed. Mm-hmm. So we think of kindness more as a disposition of the heart. He's kind, or she's kind. But what it really means when you say someone's kind is that they furnish what people need.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody's hungry, they're going to provide food. If somebody needs a job, they're going to roll up their sleeves and go to work on behalf of that person
yeah.
to help them find a job. That's what this word kindness is all about. It's not just about a feeling that we might have toward another person that I want to treat them gently. It's about furnishing what is needed. Well, what did God do? He furnished us what we needed.
Yeah.
We were dead in trespasses and sins. But through Christ Jesus, we've been made alive together with Christ. We've received the washing of regeneration, that new birth, and the renewal of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we needed. We needed life. And now from that life flows these other attitudes.
Yeah.
So this is really a key passage to understand some of the mechanics of what God actually did to save us. Now, all this was poured out on us richly through Christ Jesus, and now that we've been justified by his grace, we are heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So we were once all those bad things, But now, in Christ Jesus, we've been justified by his grace, and we are heirs according to the hope of eternal life.
Yeah, Bob, I want to pause just long enough to invite our listeners to join you, Bob Christopher, for Sunday Morning Live, Sunday mornings at 9:30 Central. It's available online at basicgospel.net. Just click the either the Facebook or YouTube link at the top of the homepage for direct access. That's Sunday mornings, 9:30 Central, for Sunday Morning Live with Bob Christopher. I think it's going to be a wonderful series as we go forward.
Yes, indeed. Second half of Romans, Romans 6 this Sunday. Yeah. So that's a powerful passage. Well, back to Titus chapter 3, we're going to pick up in verse 8. So we've seen what the kindness and love and mercy of God has done for us in washing of regeneration, the renewal of the Holy Spirit. And he goes on in verse 8, and again, this is Paul's letter to Titus. So he's encouraging Titus in his ministry on the island of Crete. And he says, "This the saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist on these things." What things? Well, the grace of God things, the mercy of God things, the love of God things, the kindness of God things, the washing of regeneration things, the renewal of the Holy Spirit things. He wants Titus to insist on these things, that this indeed is the teaching. The fact that this grace that has been poured out in Jesus Christ becomes the teacher in our lives, teaching us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live righteous, upright, and self-controlled lives. Insist on these things, so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. We need to know that we've been made qualitatively different. Yeah. We need to know that the Holy Spirit lives in us. We need to know that our way of life is now a life of faith in the one who loved us and gave himself for us. And we need to know that the end result of that is an eagerness to be useful and kind to people out there in the world. Mm-hmm. That's what these good works are all about. So he says that we who have believed in God, we may be careful to devote ourselves to good works. Now, if you will take this passage, Titus chapter 3, verses 1, all the way down to verse 8, and then put that in one column, and then take Ephesians 2, 1 through 10, and put it in another column, you're going to have parallel passages. They start exactly the same way, and they end the same way. What's the end verse of Ephesians 2, 1 through 10? It is this: "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Mm-hmm. So Paul, in his letter to Titus, is filling out that verse just a little bit for us. So he's saying that if you've been made new in Jesus Christ, you're qualitatively different. So you're no longer bound up by worldly passions. You've been set free. Free to do what? To love others as God in Christ has loved you. Free to do what? To be kind to others, to furnish what they need, to carry out the good works that God has prepared beforehand for each and every one of us. Mm-hmm. That's what this passage is all about, and boy, is it ever a powerful passage.
Absolutely. Bob, thank you. Great study today. Friends, glad you're here for it, and let us remind you that we approach the end of our fiscal year, and we've got a high mountain to climb. We have the Good News Matching Gift Challenge that doubles every gift up to $45,000. And with your help, that $45,000 can become $90,000. So, friends, let's all pull together to make that match today or this weekend for sure. Please donate online at basicgospel.net or by mail to Basic Gospel at 751 Hebron Parkway, Suite 310, Louisville, Texas, 75057. And as our thanks for your gift, we'll send you a copy of our new 30-day devotional called Forgiveness, an open door to experience a deep personal connection with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful resource. We hope you'll take full advantage of that. It's yours as you make your gift online at basicgospel.net or by mail to Basic Gospel at 751 Hebron Parkway, Suite 310, Louisville, Texas, 75057. Once again, 751 Hebron, H-E-B-R-O-N, Hebron Parkway, Suite 310, Louisville, Texas, Texas, 75057. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, wishing everyone a joy-filled Juneteenth. And to all of you dads out there, happy Father's Day. We'll be back on Monday. I hope you'll be here, too, for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.